National Broadcasting Company presents transcribed another Stan Kenton concert in miniature. Music by a leader and his orchestra who create the freshest and most stimulating ideas in modern American music. Now here is your host and conductor, Stan Kenton.
How do you do, everybody?
You know, music to America next to the air we breathe is, well, it's possibly the cheapest of all things that exist. In this country, it is everywhere. Music of every variety and music to satisfy every taste can be obtained by the twist of a radio dial. The wheels of advertising turn to melodic sounds from short, silly phrases with a sense of humor to cultural performances of large symphonic orchestras. A jukebox stands in every cafe going constantly. Music enhances our shopping tours in the large department stores, and industry has discovered that it can achieve more if an atmosphere of music is maintained for its workers. Because of all this, it's truly a common experience to witness in person the performance of an orchestra, a singer, or any musical combination, so I feel that the most fascinating part of the music world does not exist in the finished presentation, the thing that happens on a stage, or that of a phonograph record, but where the interest is behind scenes, where the product is invented and developed. For those of us that are in music, it's a job not like punching a clock at 8 in the morning and being through at 5 in the afternoon. It's a thing that goes on 24 hours a day. When we eat, we're thinking of what we're going to do next. Sometimes I think there's very little sleep because of possibly a new arrangement, a melody we're trying to develop or conceive. Besides all this, the rehearsals, the recordings, there is the presentation of the orchestra at night. So naturally, with being involved in something so constant as this, there comes a moment when you say to yourself, I believe that if I hear one more musical sound, I'll fall to pieces. So it's necessary to have a remedy. And after a number of years, I've thought of a lot of things, a lot of hobbies. I finally developed my remedy. You know what it is? More music.
Thank you.
That composition could easily be considered an excellent example of what might be a cross-section of the Kenton Orchestra. In it, there were spots when the brass became pretty brazen and blew pretty strong. The strings had some wonderfully warm, melting sounds, and in places a soloist was trying to be heard through the din of the other instruments. And I think that the composition easily earns the right to be called what it is, soliloquy. Phonograph records are possibly the most intense and the greatest challenge to me in this field of music. Because I think we all realize that a phonograph record is proof. Was it good? Was it bad? It'll sound the same tomorrow and next week as it sounds when we made it. So naturally, we try to make them as nearly perfect as possible. I might give an example. Suppose we're going to record on Friday. Wednesday, all of the material is prepared, and I start to feel a bit uneasy. Not too much sleep Wednesday night, and Thursday there's more anxiety, and finally Thursday night there really is no sleep. Friday, I walk into the record date, and I become so intensely interested in what we're trying to do that I believe that someone could come and tell me that the entire world had been destroyed and we were making records for no purpose at all, and I would not even hear. I'd still be interested in trying to make this record. My emotional machine moves that fast. I'm sitting, for instance, in a studio right here as I talk. There's been a band here recording this afternoon. To describe a bit of it, there are microphones, any number of them, sitting anywhere and everywhere. Chairs strewn over the place. Music racks. There's a piano here. And the thing that proves to me that a lot of work was done this afternoon, there are cigarette butts, matches, there are containers where they've had refreshments, so I'm pretty sure that the band leader that went through with these records this afternoon felt pretty much and feels pretty much the same as I do when we record. And I hope that he got good records. Good records, that's something. You know, oftentimes I'm asked, what do I think to be our most perfect record? It's very difficult to ask a musician what he believes to be his perfect record because sometimes the questioner will be amazed when he'll answer back a number that did not make the hit parade or didn't wind up on the top 10 because a musician considers it from another standpoint. A band leader, he listens. Can he hear the fourth saxophone the same as he can hear the first? Did the brass dominate the trombones or did the trombones dominate the saxophones? Did the rhythm come through just right? Sometimes even by moving a man's chair 2 inches can change the sound of a saxophone section. Sometimes trumpets have to rise. Sometimes 3 will be standing, 2 will be sitting. All of those things are the technical end of recording that make it quite a challenge. So when people say, Stan, what is your most perfect record? I can only come back and say, here was an attempt.
Thank you.
Well, that was a Kenton attempt at a perfect record. We did everything we could. We moved instruments by inches. The engineer was very aware of our problems. He was constantly alert as to what was going on in the studio, and after it was finished and we approved of it, as I say, that's only an example. Oh, the title? It's called Evening in Pakistan, rather descriptive in a sense, and also, to a musician, he could call it Evening in Pittsburgh, or where he recorded it, Evening in Hollywood. And as musicians know that travel the road a great deal, they're pretty much at home in Chicago just as they are in Dallas. All towns are pretty much the same to them. They travel from engagement to engagement just like a musician might play his hometown from spot to spot, except the mileage is greater in between. There are no problems to the road except, oh yes, there is one problem. The guy might have left his laundry in Pittsburgh, and maybe he forgot to pick up a suit in Kansas City, and why didn't he remember to get his shoes in Chicago, and why doesn't the mail come in from New Orleans? What happened? Wasn't it forwarded? Sometimes he worries a lot, and he travels by bus because that's the most practical means of getting around. An orchestra on the road. A bus on the road is a musician's home. There he has his personal belongings, his horn, and he must know at all times where the bus is. You'd be surprised the panic that can prevail inside a musician when he realizes the bus has been moved and he does not know to what place it has been taken, and he does not rest easy until he's been told what happened to the bus and the bus will return. Very interesting. Life on a bus. There is an orchestration that came out of that portion of the library that, well, on the edges of the manuscript, you'll find it a bit dark, and it's a little yellow. We've learned, as I've laughingly said at times, that that will fit into most any occasion. It will do at weddings. We play it at street dances, labor rallies, and It's a great spirit maintainer. Title, Love for Sale. An interesting thing behind it, too. It was recorded some years back, and I was a little bit of an obstacle in its recording. I had to be argued into it by chief arranger that time, Pete Rugolo. We had some time left on a record date. He said, let's make a record of Love for Sale. My argument was, Pete, it's not an important thing. It was just used as a filler at the Paramount Theater in New York. I don't think it should be recorded. He said, let's record it, put it on the shelf. One day you'll want to use it. Maybe it'll be something important. Somehow, by hook or by crook, the record was released. And would you believe it, over a period of months, it became a very important thing. So I had to go back and kind of admit, Pete, you're right, I was mistaken. We're always mistaken pretty much about what the public will like and what they'll dislike. No one actually knows. Sometimes their tastes come from left field. Sometimes they're pretty positive. And who's to say when their taste will change and they'll want other things? One of the more fabulous music publishers in New York City once offered $3 million a year to anyone that could constantly pick hits. In other words, tell him what the people will like, what they don't like. He said it will be worth 10 times that to him. We seek a great deal for ideas from people, suggestions from people that come and hear the orchestra, suggestions within the orchestra. Sometimes it's a musician's wife that comes to you with an idea. And believe me, they're just as intensely interested in the orchestra as the musicians themselves. In fact, wives have a very strong effect upon the music that is created because, in most cases, a young musician gets married when he's just stumbling on his instrument. He has not yet achieved the thing that he wants, and his wife learns and studies with him. She's closer to him. She's honest with him. She's constructive. When he improves, she tells him. When he does badly, she tells him. You'd be amazed the number of times a musician, after playing something on a bandstand or on a concert stage, will run to his wife and say, how was it? What did you think? And you know he gets an honest answer. We like to have wives around. Sometimes wives are excellent managers for musicians that somehow have the faculty of wandering astray occasionally, maybe coming to work late. So we like to have them around. Yes, wives are very important. So I'm sure in music, as it is in other forms of endeavor, behind every guy, there's a girl.
theme for Sunday. It pretty much is self-explanatory. They're my feelings on a Sunday afternoon. What a baffling thing, the music business. Like show business, it's based upon public affection. We all are working for their favor, and without their favor, we cannot exist. You know, insecurity in this field is something worse than a green-eyed monster. You can have 7 successful records, and the 8th one will miss. Already you become afraid. Like on the road, you have 3 months of successful one-nighters. All of a sudden, we'll say the shingle is hung out some night, and it says Stan Kenton's orchestra, and no one comes. Panic immediately. What happened? What did we do last year when we played here? Did they like it? Is this the first time? Are the records heard around here? Maybe this reign of popularity, so to speak, that we've enjoyed has exhausted itself. And this panic will prevail until another successful date comes along to start bolstering this thing that we call ego again. What a wonderful business, the music business. Good night, everybody.
NBC has brought you another Stan Kenton concert. Tonight's program, transcribed, came to you from New York. Fred Collins speaking. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
This is the NBC Radio Network.